What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back to 26 degrees. The Miami Hurricanes Barbershop Talk. It's your main man, Larry. Back for the first time in a long time, man. Miss y'all. Life been lifing. But no excuses, man. We let the people down, and I do apologize. I'm sorry. We back, though. It's me, and with me, as always, is the real Field General himself. Your favorite and mine, X. X, say what up to the people.
What's good, people? We back, man. Apologize for the time off, but we back. We got a more consistent plan that's going to be better for you guys. So just stay tuned. Still rock with us. Yeah, we ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. Things been shaky because of this, that, and the other, man. But got a newfound commitment to a schedule that we're not going to deviate from. So lineup may change here and there, just depending on, you know, everybody got whatever they got going on, which is cool. It's life. Understand it. We all got our obligations and things pop up too, but we also got an obligation to doing this. And you guys that do support us, we really do appreciate you. So yeah, we're just going to be more consistent with getting to you, man. Everything's cool on my side of the yard, man. Ain't been nothing too crazy going on. Last time I was actually supposed to pull out to Miami. I ended up not feeling well. That nightmare happened on the eve. Quick story about that, actually. We won't get into it because it's been so long ago now. But quick story on Georgia Tech game. So, I woke up that day. I got my tickets and everything. I'm about 3 hours away, so I'm planning on driving down and going to catch the game. And I woke up, back was giving me hell. It's like, bro, back is killing me. So I'm like, I went to the chiropractor and everything to try to just loosen the stuff up, be ready to go. And I was like, I still just don't feel too hot. You know what, man? I'm just selling my tickets. Don't worry about it. I just watch it on the couch. That way, I can stretch out. So, it's game time. Sell my tickets. Ended up selling them online. Took a big L on that, but I was like, well, I guess it's better than nothing. I go lay down on the couch to watch the game. And I'm usually up late at night and go to sleep like 4 or 5 in the morning. And so I'm like, up normally. And I'm going to watch the game. I'm like, man, I'm tired. Tired as hell. So I'm watching the game. And, you know, first half's pretty dull. We're moving the ball. We kind of dominating everything, but we're not scoring. I'm like, damn, what's going on, man? We're not getting it done. And I'm like, man, I'm tired. I go and lay in bed. I say, I'll just catch the replay of it. So I wake up thinking the game's over with. I get up, go in the living room. I see the score. I see the time left. I see Georgia Tech timeouts. I see hours. I say, okay, we'll kneel on out. Get on out of here. So I go back and lay in bed. So I thought I slept longer than I did. I must have only slept like an hour. Man, I come lay back down. I hear some noise. Like, you know, I'm like, yo, what's all the hubbub about? I get back up out of bed. I go, look, I'm like, fumble? How the hell is that possible? How you fumble a kneel out? So I literally was like going to bed. We won. Get up like literally a minute later to watch that epic meltdown. And it's so funny because that entire day, I just like, something's off today. The announcers was talking about the damn alternate uniform and how Georgia Tech upset us a long time ago, same type of conditions. And it was in the air, man, and it went down that day. I could not believe what I had witnessed, just getting up out of bed, saying, oh, yeah, game over. Just like the rest of y'all, the game over, just to witness that epic meltdown. And you know, I think it was a gut punch to the team. I think everybody on the team needed time to reshuffle, man. It was a heartbreaker. But, yeah, that's the extent I get into that game, man.
Yeah, I ain't going to get into that. I had enough of that. Speak on that. It was one of those moments where you thinking, is this a nightmare or a dream or something? Like, this can't be reality. It just can't be. It can't be reality. It's not happening. I've never seen it happen like this before. No.
Never.
But it happened. No, it's so crazy. They say, Miami, we always set the trends. We always the trendsetter. That was a trendsetter right there because it was a moment that never happens. Unfortunately, it was a bad moment, you know?
Yeah. Well, he done it before, so.
For Miami.
the coach trendsetter.
Something that he just has to get better at, man. But you know, man, it is what it is. It was something that was unexpected. You know, we moved along. We went to the next week. We had Carolina. Both teams are ranked. Two high power offenses going against each other. Against our defense, was way better than theirs. You know, I just think the team had everything figured out. Get it done. It's just we. I don't think, as a collective unit, all together, we don't have it to understand to finally just win the game. We don't have it just yet. It's still a lot that takes that they got to do to get that that momentum. Say, okay, well, we got this game won, and we're going to finish it out.
Let me ask you that. It's funny too because now we're 6 games in, and you saw the change in attitude with a lot of the fan base. Everybody's all on Mario back, you know, not back, but riding on the bandwagon. Everything's good, everything's cool. Georgia Tech was like a crazy meltdown. Like that's really hard to stomach as a fan. You like, bro, I really can't believe this happened. And then you got, you know, we'll get into a little more detail, the loss of the North Carolina loss. How's your feeling on Mario as a head coach at this point? Like, start off 4-0, the absolute meltdown of Georgia Tech, and then, you know, the sound loss, I'll call it, to UNC.
My personal feeling is I'm still riding with Mario. I see a total – but I guess they call it a 360. 180 with the team. This is not the same team as last year. You know, granted, we lost those two games, but the one thing I would say is the team still focused, and their fight mentality is 100% better than last year. So I'm still riding with Mario. You know, obviously he still has things he has to do as a head coach. You know, in order for him to be in that top caliber of coach that you're getting paid a lot of money that you know what I'm saying, should have been something that shouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, I'm riding with Mario, man. And what made me even ride with him even more, speaking with recruits, man, recruits that they made me like, damn, I feel like he should recruit me, man. Because, you know, even after the loss, the recruits was like, man, Mario instantly called the recruits and told them that loss was on me. My fault, fellas. I apologize. And the recruits was like, he basically explained to them, like, you know, you're the ones that I'm recruiting your guys. Your guys are the ones that are going to take us over the field. And we need you. You know what I'm saying? And the recruits still speaking positive about that. Even after the loss, that's what I'm saying. I can ride with them. You know, it's different from in the past. We lost recruits like, oh, boy, here we go. I'm like, hey, yeah, man, I don't know. You know,
they jumped the boat.
Right. Now recruits like, nah, man, we ride because they see the vision that Mario is painting for them. You know what I'm saying? And they just got to buy in. I'm still riding with him.
Yeah, me personally, it's kind of two brains when it comes to this. It's like the fanatic brain, and then the objective football brain, right? So when either way I look at it, the fanatic brain is the brain that goes, "Oh man, get this guy out of here," right? How you lose that game? But the realistic, objective football brain says, bro, you cannot just start over again, even if you want to. Like, it's not smart, regardless to, even if I didn't think, all in all, he would do well. I do believe he's going to do well. I do. I think the Georgia Tech thing was just a damn shame. Like, an embarrassment. I can't see him doing it for a third time. You know what I mean? He pushed his luck the second time. And really came back and bit him in the ass. And I'm going to tell you one thing about that. I tell my buddy that we used to be playing football like on NCAA or Madden. And literally they used to have like sliders where if you didn't take a knee, that it would make you do something like fumble or throw an interception. And that's because I used to tell him, all right, man, he'll be winning by three. And I'd be like, go on knee a lot now. He'd be like, so no, I'm finna run it up. I'm like, all right. And so many times I would get that pick or I would get that fumble. And it's because I tell people the football guys don't like ugly, man. And that was ugly. It was ugly to try to get 100 yards, man, when the game is over. And we supposed to win that game by 20 points. And I'm not even saying that just because of Vegas. I just really believe that type of team we should have. We should have beat them by about 20 points. So I think he really understood. Don't try the football guys no more, man. You know, try them twice. Don't ever do that again. Ever, ever, ever. Don't try the football guys. They don't like that kind of foolishness. So I think that lesson's learned there. We do have in him one of the best recruiters in the nation. You read it on other boards. Y'all seen it. You know, as good as Georgia is, you know, they boy to tell you, you don't want to be fighting Miami at the end. It's like right now they got something going. Mario's doing something special. And I don't care what nobody says, the backbone of college football is recruiting. It will continue to be that. The transfer portal is a new tool and it's useful. But it's still going to start with recruiting and building. Because no matter what, you've got to continue to stack talent because your talent is a 3 to 5 year turnover. It's not like the NFL where you can sign contracts and keep guys in. So it's going to continue to be the absolute backbone. And I believe he will continue to do that at a great clip. And when I say that, I also don't think it necessarily means we're always going to have the number five and up class. I think we, and which oddly is Miami tradition, I think we'll have an underrated number eight class of guys that fit what we're trying to do. Yeah, I do believe that he'll bring in the top five class, but I don't even necessarily think every year is going to be number, you know, 1 through 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But we'll have the talent that's going to make us the teams that we used to be. And when we only time we ever had a number one class, it didn't work out. So all in all, I say all that, I ramble on to say, I'm not really shaken by his ability as a head coach. I like his his resiliency. I really believe in it. I don't think he gets shook. Some of my favorite coaches, entertainment wise, are like a Beamer, right? Like Shane Beamer. Shane not gonna last much longer because Shane is too emotional, and they not winning. But it's fun to watch. But then you see the complete opposite in a Mario Cristobal, who's completely business when it boils down to it. So that's just my thoughts on him. Not really shaking at all as far as, is he the right guy? He's the right guy for a couple of reasons. I think he's the right guy personality-wise, recruiting-wise, business-wise. It's just what you need to do. Can't keep starting over every 3 years. You'll never get nowhere. So that's just my thoughts on that. It just came to my mind while we were on that. Maul, you about to say something?
First of all, I didn't jump in the intro, but yeah, I football right now. It's a change I needed to do after that Georgia Tech game, man. It's kind of like you said, we ain't supposed to lose that way. And that was just a tough one. But it to me, it was one of those losses that it carried over to UNC. I think they tried to fight through, but I think when they went into halftime, it just wasn't their night. And that happens sometimes. They had to me, it was set up for us to lose. They let the Walker guy from UNC, the receiver, come back. And it was just one of those losses. Almost like you see this more in the NFL, but it'd be like a schedule. Or the NBA, you see a scheduled loss. Like, to me, that UNC game was just a scheduled loss. And it just, this week, we're going to really see about Mario and just how the team responds and how they respond with him and how many horses he got with him in that locker room. But nah, he's the guy, and he needs all his players. I'm just going to say that. You know, there were some mistakes made in that game where I'm just like, there's just certain names you just tired of seeing certain mistakes with. And I just think, you know, once he gets a full overhaul, it's a full rebuild, you just got to let him rebuild it. And it'll get there. And, you know, we told ourselves, hey, 8-4 is a decent year. We are 4-2. So we're halfway to what we thought would be, you know, respectable. So we're there. It's just, if we would have lost A&M but beat Georgia Tech and had the same conversation, we'd feel all right. But just some losses flip-flopped. And it shouldn't have been a loss, but it's what it is. Maybe we steal a game we shouldn't win later in the season. So we just got to see how these players learn from it and see what cream rises off of it. And just, Mario's the guy, man. People just, we just got to, it's a lot of rebuild to happen.
Yeah,
the reason why I'm telling people he's the guy, you know, everybody, well, you should have got Lane, or you should have got, okay, so when you go out to search for assistant coaches, Lane is an offensive coach. Lane don't care nothing about defense. So what do you want? You want a good offense and not a good defense? I mean, you know what I'm saying? The one thing Mario wants to create at the University of Miami is that every group, every player is as equally as good as each other. So you have a good team, a whole around team, not just, okay, well, my offensive unit is great, but my defense give up 40 points a game. Or my defensive unit is great.
All we got to do is score 45. It's like,
you know what I'm saying? My defensive unit is great, but my offense is trash. It's like, okay. He came here and instantly changed every group from last year. You know, outside of the quarterback room. The quarterback room is pretty much the same from last year. But now you have the running back room, great group. Wide receiver room, great group. Look at the offensive line room. I mean, we have literally one of the best offensive lines in college football. Tight end room, we haven't used them yet, but we know the ability that they have. D-line room, good. Linebacker, I mean, how many times have we been screaming about the linebacker?
180 on that room, right.
Since Shaquille and Pickney left, you know what I'm saying? We've been like, oh, whoa, he is terrible. You know, and then look at the secondary. The secondary room is good. So it's like, I don't know why people complaining. Like, we aren't getting better. We just haven't figured out how to, you know, win certain games.
Right. I think, and it's not to kick Brother Mel while he's down. Give my dog his money, too. Cause I just got my suspicions on that whole Mel Tucker situation. I said from the get-go, and I remember hearing this, I was like, I don't think Mel that damn dumb. You talking about the lady that specifically come to talk about all, you know, sexual misconduct. You going to sexually harass the sexual misconduct lady? Like, that sound crazy. I'm like, you got to be a special kind of dumb. But anyway, I think what happened is, and you see kind of the, and I'm going to make this comparison for those that may need to come back to earth, right? Remember, Michigan State wasn't supposed to be good that year. We were supposed to beat Michigan State, I think, by a dub. We ended up losing that game. They went on to have a special year. Mel Tucker gets paid big time. Michigan State don't want Mel Tucker no more because they realize they got excited in the moment, threw a bunch of money at a guy that isn't necessarily going to be able to build a program. He built a year. He put a season together. And I think that's what Miami fans are looking for. And I get it, because the fun and excitement of just being ranked higher, and the optics of, because that's what hurt so much about the Georgia Tech game. I'll be honest with you, it was damn near as much a gut punch as it was for me to see you know, the Nebraska loss in for the national title, or the Ohio State loss for the national title. Those are two games that I just couldn't believe we actually lost. We want that good feeling of, yeah, man, I told you Mario was the guy and everything's good now. Look at our season. And then what happens in Michigan State? Very next year, they stink. They're horrible. The recruiting isn't really there. They win a few battles here and there. It's not panning out at all. And this is a team that, you know, went on. I think they won the bowl that year. I mean, by all stretch of the imagination, outdid everything that they were supposed to do. But it was a quick burn. We have to be prepared for some of the ups and downs of a rebuild. And we only on year two, truly, of the rebuild. Should we expect progress? Absolutely. And like X just said, name every room. Is it not better? It is. Only room the same, I agree, is quarterback. So we just got to buckle in and allow him some grace as well. The Georgia Tech thing, you know, it was a bad move. We would have been 5-1, and it would have looked better optically as well at this point. But it really is about flipping the total culture. And like Maul said, it's going to continue to scrape out, you know, some of the leftovers and continue to build class after class and rebuild the trust, the infrastructure. So let's get a little bit into North Carolina game, man. We had a little while to watch it, rewatch it. That was a game. I guess getting straight into it, it was a game that started out a little ugly for us. I thought the refs, and I'm not blaming refs. I'm going to be clear. I'm not blaming refs. I thought the refs were a little ticky-tacky, a little flag happy. What really put a bad taste in my mouth early was the personal foul on Keontra at the beginning. I really thought he did something a lot more egregious than what happened.
Yeah.
And then when they came back from commercial and showed what he did, I was like, come on, dog. Come on, man. Like,
yeah.
We looking now. Now it's a stretch. And that was humongous.
It was a big play. And the crazy thing is, if you look at the whole part of it, the guy pushed Ruben Bain. Literally pushed and shoved Ruben Bain.
Right.
Y'all should just walk and bump into him. And it was like, okay, you're going to throw the flag on our guy because he bumped into that guy, but you're not going to throw the flag because he pushed him?
Right.
Come on, refs. Like, what are you doing?
You hate the Miami bias. You don't try to lean on that because we do know we got to be better. But I also don't think that that's fair to our players, man, that they not allowed any emotion, any because you see it all the time in the game. You're allowed to have little dust-ups without it always turning into a flag. You know, in that situation, I was like, there should be no flag here, man. You know, the boy wanted his towel back. Ruben Bain collects towels. If you lose it, you lost it, man. You ain't getting the towel back, dog. He a big boy, too. You're not getting the towel back. It's an L. And he was leaving the field, you know. No, you're not getting it. Go get another one. You know what I'm saying? That's just his thing. It's what he liked to do. Keontra was stepping up to say a little something, defend his teammate, whatever. And they made it, like, way bigger than it was. And these are, you know, everybody knows the game of football, knows football is a momentum game. So when we get started in that game in general, I didn't think there was much momentum created by either team. I thought we was getting a little bit going without quite sealing the deal and pushing things into a full-fledged momentum. It was a little stagnant, I guess.
Defensively, I thought we had gotten momentum.
I agree.
Once we settled in and we started putting Mayors on his back, it was like, oh, yeah, we got it. You know what I'm saying? He shook. He can't even drop back and throw the ball the right way he wanted to throw it. They can't really do any plays. They like the first half defensively, I thought we did an excellent job.
Right.
Offensively, we fumbled the ball on the goal line. So obviously the score could be more than 17. It could really be 24-14 if you don't fumble right there on the goal line.
Correct.
Certain plays, TBD, probably forcing it on third down when it could be a first down if you throw it to the man that's open. No, it just like Strippo said, he said, man, we self-inflict ourselves, and that's the reason why we lost two games. So
yeah, and I like that responsibility from an upperclassman. I agree with that. There's opportunities. Every play has an opportunity. You have to make it though. You know, so that will all I like when players take responsibility as well. But coaches have to take responsibility. And I think looking back at that game in totality, I guess if I'm a point fingers, I gotta look at our OC. But I also gotta look at our QB.
So I had a video. I mean, this we dropped it on Kingsbury yesterday on the Twitter. But I had it since media day, and it was me only, nobody else but me. It's been Tyler Van Dyke. Questions about what's going on with the offense, and this is at media day before the season started. I asked them every question, and if you go back and listen to it, you will get an understanding to why and what's exactly going on with the offense. Everybody was throwing blame at Dawson, and yes, Dawson, you do have to put your quarterback in better, more comfortable situations, like maybe up tempo, because that's when TBD is good, when he's in up tempo, but. Again, Dawson gives TBD the full 100% ability to go to the line of scrimmage and change the play, give the right play for him. TBD is the one that's not going. And I'm not trying to throw him under the bus, but TBD, I asked him, does Dawson give you the ability to go to the line? He said, yeah, I go to the line and check. You know, if I like a play, I'm going to check it. I mean, right. So that right there alone said, okay, DVD, if you have that ability, what's going on? or when you're checking it, why are you checking it to one specific player?
Right. Yeah. And that's where your familiarity gets in your way, right? And it's you're constantly looking for your safety blanket. And Restrepo, and maybe forcing the ball a little too often at times. I think, like you say, he got full range, so there's opportunities, and that's going to matter when we're talking about NFL stock and all that. There's already a heavy quarterback class. With him, I think you have a good quarterback. I don't know if he's a great quarterback, but you can win with a good one. I mean, Georgia won the national title with Stetson Bennett, bro. Like, now granted, their defense was absolutely monstrous and can't be touched. But what he did is just make the right throws in the right times. And that's what we need from Tyler Van Dyke on a consistent level. Yeah, I will agree with you 100%. And that's something that I notice in general when we play UNC. They always have these highly touted quarterbacks. And Drake May really didn't do nothing to us last year in that loss. This year, it really was the Tez kid who, you know, like Maul alluded to earlier, was a perfect storm. I said, how come he got to come back this damn game?
Yeah, like, why y'all wait till he got a game to come back and say, okay, he's going to play against UM? Like, why not wait further on the season? Like, come on.
They said they got some new evidence. Y'all ain't got new shit. We 5-1.
I got the fact that they play you well.
Right. We 4-1, yeah. Send them out. Send the dogs out. Let you know what I'm saying? Let the dogs out on them people.
Another reason why we got to lead the ACC is stuff like that. And they did and that fumble in the Georgia Tech game. Through all that, he ain't fumbled. They ain't overturned. They make sure to let it play out.
Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah, so let me ask you, did they give a specific reason why they allowed Ted to play, or they just say we just got new evidence?
They just said new evidence was presented. What it was, I don't know.
It can't be no damn new evidence.
And that's why Florida State was up in arms, because they won whatchamacallit to play. And they're like, well, we gave new evidence and nothing happened. So it's like, you know, everything with NCAA is arbitrary. What they feel like, they do what they feel like doing. They want a team to be eligible, they'll do that. If you're a top-tier school, they won't suspend you much, but they'll like, punish a school a notch below to prove a point. There was nothing new that happened. It was, they didn't declare something magically changed. It was just, we got new information. I guess the new information was, hey, North Carolina is undefeated. So they didn't lose to South Carolina. They didn't lose this other game. We can set them up good. That's what it felt like to me, because may nothing change.
Right. Well, damn thing changed, but the date on the calendar. And I do think he should have been eligible from the get-go. That I will agree with that. But it was like, the time is crazy. Because, yeah, from the information that was given, I was like, oh, okay, I understand. You know, that's a situation where I do think he should have always been eligible. But y'all said he wasn't. Now you flip again and he is. So it's like, all right, whatever. But there's no excuse. I mean, you got to play who out there on the field. That kid was able to get loose, go crazy on us. Other than that, the defense did a pretty damn good job. Like,
yeah, outside of him and that running back, yeah, they did a good job. Him and the first half, we did a pretty good job with the running game.
Right, and this is what goes to your point of having a balanced team. When the offense isn't doing what it needs to do and the defense is, it's going to do you no good. Because you're not reciprocating the energy. Oh, cool, the defense is getting three and outs, getting sacks, forcing hard throws, creating negative plays. But then you get a ball right back on offense because we're not creating positive plays. You know, credit to North Carolina defense in general. I think they are playing better. And I knew they would play better than they had been this season against Miami. That's just going to happen. So they, you know, right now, I mean, they own us 5 in a row.
We see everybody going to play their best game against Miami.
Yeah. Man, listen, I've been screaming for years, and Miami fans been looking at me like I'm a damn fool, calling North Carolina a rival. And everybody, I'm like, listen, rivalries are created somewhere. And, you know, you think about it, what's our natural rivals? Really just Florida State. Florida's a recruiting rival. We don't get to play them that much. You know, Virginia Tech is what you would consider kind of a traditional rival, because we come over from, you know, the Big East together and everything. I'm like,
yeah, Notre Dame being that it's that, you know, that
but again, it's right, but it's not natural because we don't get to play them all the time. It's not a geographic thing. And, you know, with North Carolina, we've been in the same division until they just got rid of divisions this year. North Carolina was a team I wanted on our every year. The three teams that we play every year, I wanted North Carolina on that list. I'm like, y'all can keep thinking that this is just North Carolina. And I don't know why people can't get past the past and understand that they've been better than us for a while now. Like, a good while. And they going to give us a game. They look at us in a way. They throw that U down more than probably any other school I've seen. Florida State.
Oh, here's a little story. Here's a little story about the throw the U down. My homeboy was asking me, like, man, X, why do North Carolina and UM hate each other so much? I say, well, look, this is the true story about it. They were the first team to start throwing the U down. And I think our team really took it personal. So the hate just started from there. Like, y'all throwing the U down, and it was like, oh, no, that's disrespectful. But, I mean, hey, until you beat them, they're going to keep disrespecting.
They're going to keep disrespecting. And, you know, I think we got to look at them as in that locker room, especially more than the fan base. Damn what the fan base thinks. They, you know, we could be wrong all we want to. That's a key rival for us. And North Carolina being, you know, bro, North Carolina running it up on us, bro. That's 5 in a row, bro. 5.
We can't have any "where are we back" conversations till we beat North Carolina.
Absolutely not. Yeah,
that's easiest way.
Right. You can't beat North Carolina. Hell no, you ain't back. And, you know, North Carolina puts out a pretty good product. They usually have a pretty good running back. They always have good wide receivers. always got a good quarterback.
They got an elite coach. Mac Brown's an elite college football coach, period.
Mac just like little boy in us, too. That's one of his favorite things to do, bro.
He loves it.
He love it, man. Mac love that shit, boy. Mac wake up that morning just smiling. Yeah. Get the little boy UM today, baby. Here you go. I'm going to grab him like this. I'm going to grab him like this. How I'm going to yoke him up a little bit, you know?
Then he go in the locker room and do the little dance. That right there irks my soul. Like, just watching this old 70-something-year-old man.
Right.
Dance, like,
wearing J's, you know, and dancing on us and shit. I'm like, look at this man. Shit here.
That's why look I said when the season started, I'd rather go 10-2. I'd rather go 8-4 but beat UNC than go 10-2, but one of the L's is UNC. That's the loss I didn't want. But I just, after that Georgia Tech game, it was tough.
Yeah, we gotta get that monkey off our back, man. Gotta defeat that demon.
Did y'all go through the entire UNC game? I had stepped out briefly.
No.
We,
first half, we pretty much dominated the first half.
That fumble was huge, man.
Yeah, the fumble was huge. It was huge.
Yep.
But even after that, we still came back. And drove down the field, scored.
Right, to go up
got
at
the ball back. Then we got, you know, we was able to get the field goal. If TBD throws the ball to another guy, we getting the 7 instead of a field goal. But that's neither there. 17-14 at the half. I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling good because I'm like, okay, if the defense is going to keep playing like this, we got it. We good. We kick off. And they get the ball, man. They come and they strike fast. And I'm like, okay, what's going to happen? You know, granted, Jaden Davis, if he keeps running through that ball, that's an interception. It's not a touchdown. He jumps early, gets beat. And from that moment on, North Carolina say, hey, let's run up-tempo the rest of this game because they can't stop it. They having trouble stopping the up-tempo offense. And guess what? They go 21 straight. Now we still in a huddle on offense. The defense can't line up right because they going up tempo. We just looking like we don't belong at this point. And that's the ball game.
But that third quarter, everything that could have went wrong, both sides of the ball. And that's what we talked about before. Like, we got to be sound throughout. And up until that point this season, we've been pretty sound. It looks like both sides of the ball kind of just play their worst at the same time in that third quarter. That's what I noticed.
Absolutely. Third quarter, total meltdown. You know, I'm like X. I thought going into the half, we were a little sluggish in the first quarter, especially a little sluggish still in the second. I thought we were building some momentum going into the half. Like you said, great drive to end the half. So I'm like, okay, cool. At least we got some points. I think we can kind of, you know, take this game over in the third. But North Carolina said the same thing. They were like, hey, we ain't played our best. We're only down 3. I think I know some things that's going to get us over the top in this third. And they went in and absolutely blazed us in the third quarter. And really the game was won in the third. The fourth, I think some adjustments were made and things got slowed down in general to where, you know, We stopped the bleeding because, you know, Mac ain't going to pull up on us. If they could have scored 75, that's just what would have happened. They would have just kept going and we would have just had to suffer the consequences. I will say one of my biggest grievances, and X mentioned it earlier, where my tight end at, man? It's time. You know, we into game number 6. Does a tight end have a catch? Oh, Cam got one, I remember. Literally.
Well, no, Cam got a few catches. Riley got a few catches. I think Riley got maybe 2 or 3 catches, and then Skinner has 1.
That's not enough.
It's the targets. Like, are we going to target him?
No, right, we got to target him, right.
Are they just out there just being decoys?
From what
Dawson was explaining, they used Arroyo last week. But it was just to see if he's going to be able to go the rest of the season and see if he's ready. They say he's ready. You know, after watching him run routes and stuff, obviously, I still don't know why we didn't target him. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, about saying, the hell.
He's ready to go for he's full goal. So he should get about 5 targets this week. I mean, should. That's
We got to. We have got to target the tight end, man, and take advantage of the athletic tight ends we do have. That's probably our one of our, and it's traditionally been an advantage, and I still think it's an advantage in that room. We've got to use these athletic tight ends, bro. What are we doing? You know, when the offense did go stagnant, who they always say the quarterback best friend is? Tight end.
Tight end.
Where
tight
is he at?
Yeah, we just haven't been doing it. We
have not been getting to him. He's a big. These are bigger guys in general. We're talking 6'7" guys, big catch radius. You know, they usually run in the shorter routes, you know, underneath to help you just get your rhythm going. We absolutely need to get the tight end involved to help with TVD's confidence and him getting rhythm. And he's got to look for him. And that's something they better be breaking down with this game coming up, with the Clemson game coming up. We will not win this Clemson game without the use of the tight end. I'm saying
the full arsenal. The full arsenal.
Have to be a right.
Tight ends, running backs out of the backfield, multiple receivers, not just only three. You just got to use the full arsenal. Not to jump off Carolina, but
no,
Clemson defense is going to play you man to man, and they're going to come after the quarterback. So you're going to have one on one opportunities the whole entire game, TVD, Coach Dawson. Win those battles and create opportunities.
Is there too much of a Restrepo dependency? Because he had like 11 catches for like 96 yards. And somebody told me he had like
8 that's 8 the yards. Only that's the only thing that's going on. I mean, look at the catches. Restrepo has 47, and then our next is George at 29.
And I think that's messing up the chance of using the tight end because most of his stuff's underneath. So
right.
If you're using him underneath, you can't use the tight end unless you've got the tight end running 30 yards up the field.
Completely agree.
Exactly. Like I say, I don't have the official number of targets. That's the mind-boggling one. But then, the way Coach Hayes and then when Streeter was breaking it down, when Dawson had what's the running back? I mean, running back, the receiver that's in the NFL, Tank Dell.
Tank Dell, yeah.
When he had Tank Dell, Tank Dell had almost 90-something more targets than the next receiver. And I was like, okay, now I understand a lot more. You know what I'm saying? But, again, if he's going to have that many, he got to have some explosive plays. Restrepo hasn't had an explosive play yet.
Yeah, and my thing is just, again, it becomes predictable. And so you're limited you're tying one hand behind your back. One thing, I is we're not exploiting. Restrepo is a good wide receiver, right? There's absolutely no conflict about that. Nobody that watches Miami football or even just football, if you just watch him, you got to say, oh, that's a pretty good receiver, number seven. I'm seven is a good receiver. But where we can be special at is the tight end spot. With a guy like Arroyo, Skinner, I still worry about with the drops. You know, he gets a case of the drops, so I'm a little nervous with him. But, like you said, Riley Williams, man, those two guys, let's go Arroyo and Riley. Those are some special guys. We have yet to see them. So all I'm saying is let's cut Restrepo targets in half and get into that special guy and see what he could do. See if he could throw a safety down and cut it upfield and continue to just, gain another 20 yards. We're not using them. And that's not Miami football. And I understand you evolve with the times. I'm totally for that. But one thing Miami has been known for is tight end you. And I just think there's too much talent in that room for it to be neglected the way it is at this point in the season. At first, I'm giving them credit like we trying to hide some stuff. But, yeah, I really hope Shannon, Coach Dawson, is really sitting down with TVD and going over film and, pointing out to him, hey, look at your tight end here. Hey, look at your tight end here, or drawing up stuff this week specifically, because I agree with you, X, getting into the Clemson game, you're going to have a lot of opportunities. Clemson going to say, you got to beat my man. That's it. So we'll beat them sometimes. They got good, but they have a good defense. Believe that. They got a good corners. So the wide receiver game is going to be, you know, they're not going to win all those matchups. So where can we win a lot of them that we may be missing out on and force them to do some things they don't want to do? I really believe the tight end will be the key to get them making some adjustments. I agree with you as well. Running back out the backfield. Just got to get creative. Use a full arsenal against a team like that with a defense like that. I guess to kind of put a bow on the North Carolina game, if you just get back into it, like I said, third quarter things fell apart. Those guys pulled off on us. And then in the fourth, we had a couple of opportunities to try to fight back, claw back. And I think we did some good things. I really just believe the third quarter meltdown was just too much to overcome. You know, it's a reason they got a time limit on these games. Because if you go another quarter, I think we win the game. But that ain't how the games work. You got 4 15-minute quarters. Figure it out in that time. And that's what coaching is about. Being at the top at the end of that fourth one where it's 4-0s on the clock. We got out-dueled in that third. And it really just put that game away. Undisciplined in certain areas. Back-to-back weeks with key fumbles. Some guys that don't fumble. You know, we're not talking about, you know, we dealt with the fumbling with the little homie Rooster. Shout out to him and his success he having at SMU. But yeah, we're not, you know, that hasn't been a thing. So it just went wrong. And don't get me wrong, players are going to fumble the football. That's part of the game. Just the time is bad. Sometimes fumbling is a result of trying to press too hard and just going for it a little too much. Because you allowed yourself to get, in a position where you feel like you got to make a play so bad that you make a mistake there. But I think, yeah, like I said, to kind of put a bow on that whole situation.
Nine turnovers. Just put it like this. 9 turnovers in the last 2 games. It's hard for you to win games. You can't win games with 9 turnovers in 2 games.
So. Yeah, turnovers and penalties, they'll kill you. It's hard. Especially when penalties are turnovers.
Exactly.
When you win the play and then they call the penalty on you that give them the ball back. Just got to continue to play better discipline. That includes taking care of the football and just playing smart just playing smart. Like,
can't self-inflicting yourself. I'm saying you keep self-inflicting yourself, and you're going there, you're looking at everybody else like, well, why do we keep losing? You think?
Yeah,
you don't know why we're losing?
Right. Can't keep stabbing yourself in the knee and wonder why you can't run fast, huh? You know, like, you doing it. So that'll kind of put a bow on that situation. I mean, you don't have to really get it to the finite X's and O's. I think TVD definitely needs to come into this week playing better. I think, getting into this game in general, we just got to dial it up a little different. So let's just go ahead and get into Clemson.
I've been watching Clemson a few of their games. I was very high on their quarterback, but after, you know, watching a few games, I see where he struggles and lacks the talent in the game. You know, another thing about him is he started to get happy feet once he started to get hit. Once you start hitting him, then he starts to try to get out of the pocket a lot. You know, so it's like, okay, can the defense contain him from running? Because he is a good running quarterback. Can we just make him force the throws that he's very uncomfortable with? That's going to be our key to winning. Offensively, we have to run the ball. We have to beat these one-on-ones because, again, they're going to play one-on-one. They just been a one-on-one playing team. Like you say, I mean, y'all got to beat our man. You got to beat them. And you just can't have turnovers. You know, that would be the key to success with Clemson. No, Clemson is Clemson. They got good players. They got good coaching. Yeah, they lost two games, but it's still Clemson. You know what I'm saying? We can't go in that thing just because they lost two games. They're not good. Yeah, I mean, if that's the situation, yes, we're not good. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely. And, you know, the most dangerous animal is a wounded one, right? So you always have to keep in mind, and I hope that's definitely a mindset in that room. Everybody hates Miami. Even if they say it's like that, like kind of like they say we the Cowboy fans of college football. And in some respects, I understand that. I do what they're saying. We hold on to the past to an extent, but they do too. And they don't like that we ever bring up what we've done versus what they've done. Because they're going to be like, oh yeah, well, what you going to do today? So, nobody likes us. Nobody likes us. And when I say they don't like us, they hate us. So it's almost personal every time we step out there. So don't think because you're facing a wounded Clemson that you're facing a bad Clemson. They lost to a good Duke team, right? See, you talk about not living in the past. A good Duke team. It's a good Duke team. Duke is a good team this year. And who was the other loss to?
Florida State, and they should have won that game.
Right. Right, so and they lost to a good Florida State game team, and I agree there was opportunities to win that game as well. So don't think you running up on some bums just because they got a couple of L's.
And we ran up on some bums and lost to Georgia Tech, so we
can't right win. Exactly.
That's why to me the Georgia Tech loss could be. If we win this game, I think the Georgia Tech loss will show us we learned some. I think. We got to get a lead.
Yeah, I would say dealing with Clemson, it would be paramount to get a lead and hold it, man. Like it the fight back, climb back mentality has to stop. We got to quit being the cardiac games. We got to get out there on an opponent like this and truly just dominate and make them have to fight back to get into the game. Because it's going to be waves. There's ebbs and flows, right? But like I said, you know, when we talk about the North Carolina game, is sure, we came back in the fourth and played a better game and held them from, you know, stumping us out completely like they would have. But the key is you're not allowing 21 straight.
Right. They played better in three so quarters. First quarter, if you take away the fumble, I mean, it was about even. We won the second and the fourth. We just had a horrible third. And Clemson, you got to play good for all four quarters. You ain't got to be great, but you can't have no bad quarters. Because they're one of them teams where if you play sound, Duke played sound against Clemson. I watched that whole game. Duke didn't make any mistakes, and they managed to score like two touchdowns late. Because it was a close game. So we can't afford to make – we can't give Clemson anything. We got to make them go – if they're going to score on us, they need to go 80 yards.
Right.
If they're going to score on us. If they're going to score, we can't let it be a defensive touchdown, have these type of mistakes. We can't give them anything because they're going to take advantage. But if we can play our best game of the year, I think we'll win the game. But, I mean, it's all on the psyche of the team. It's leaders got to emerge and it's – like, they have to be ready for the moment because it's going to be a night game. It's not ABC, but it's still going to be a night game against Clemson, a team that wants to turn their season around in the sense that they can be in the conversation. At the end of the day, they go 10-2. They'll play somewhere big. So they got a lot riding on this game, too. So we got to see who in that locker room, like, the leaders got to emerge. And if you're not a leader, don't try to fake it. You can't fake it this Saturday because Clemson going to bring whatever we got out of us, good or bad.
I like that point you made, too, because we got to make sure these guys understand it ain't no shame in being foreign, too, because the almighty Clemson is foreign, too. And this whole, like you just said, this whole season could turn around. Just win. Just win. You can win the rest of your games. There's no reason you cannot win every single game on your schedule because every time you line up, there's an opportunity to win the game. So the attitudes cannot be defeatist. It cannot be all, well, man, we supposed to have beat Georgia Tech, man. That's got to be done. North Carolina has to be done. The lessons have to be learned from that game, and you have to go out here and play sound, play good football. You don't even got to be overexcited. You ain't got to be super juiced up. You just need to play within the confines of football and play good football. I'm going to go back to my previous point. If we're going to beat Clemson, back to the one-on-ones, our tight ends, I do believe, will be a mismatch for any linebackers out there. We're going to be facing a very tough defensive line.
Trotter can't cover. He can't cover. He's a good run linebacker, but he's horrible in coverage. He's horrible.
That's an advantage. We have to take it. Force them out of some of that man stuff, because, like you said, that's what they want to sit in. But if we force them out to where they get a couple of things that they're not as comfortable doing to try to adjust, then you take advantage in different ways. So that'll be a key to me. The tight end usage will be a key. Running back blocking, I think, is going to be very key in this game as well. We'll be facing a very good defensive line. They always retool there. North Carolina's line had a couple of players step up a little bit there. And then, we'll play Florida State, who also has a good defensive line. But this will probably be probably the best D-line we'll play. Either them or Florida State, I would say. So we got the O-line's been playing sound. And, A&M had a good line because they've been a lot more productive since. So I know we can face top competition and do a good job. I think where it'll get a little different is how they may dial up some blitzes and how our running backs handle that type of stuff. And getting back to what X said earlier, so there'll be opportunities, I definitely believe, to beat some of these blitzes with the running back out of the backfield as well. Maybe if they come in with a blitz, we had a running back in the flat. He's got an opportunity, but, 15 yards of green in front of him.
We have – the O-line's going to have to hold up against that front seven you talked about. We're going to have to beat them. We're going to have to stretch them out. If you try to keep it in front of them, Clemson's going to wear you out. We're going to have to beat them over the top. That's where they're weak. Their secondary's good, but they're not. They don't got depth like they used to have. They don't got that.
But the ones they've got, they got it back. With the Wiggins kid, he's back.
That's the corner, right?
He's the one that worries me. Like, oh man,
he's nice.
I heard it against Florida State, right?
I was hoping, he comes back. I'm like, okay, man, who does he guard? Does he guard Kobe Young? Does he guard Jacoby George? Like, who's he going to guard? I know he's not going to guard Restrepo because Restrepo isn't the factor that everybody, although he got all those targets, but he's just not beating. He's just not winning those games. So George and Young are the guys who win those games. So who's ever Wiggin is guarding, the opposite man has to step up because they're going to be one-on-one.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, that's the matchup we have to win. And that's their weakness. If you just try to be conservative and throw to Restrepo and it's 3rd and 8, we throwing to him for 6 yards, it's going to be a long day, man.
Yeah. I want to see him dial up, continue to dial up the shots. Kobe Young can win some of those one-on-ones. He will, so let's give him a shot to get go pluck the ball out the air a few times. I'm with you. Let's get creative and use a full arsenal. I worry about us, maybe just trying to be a little too stubborn with the runs, in the sense of just trying to bang it up off tackle. And, I'm like, maybe we got to try a few counter looks, things like that. Try to play some of their aggressiveness against them. And see if we can turn those little things into bigger games, because they'll be stout at the point of attack.
Yeah, we need that TVD that played against A&M. We're gonna need that guy. We need him to be his best. We're gonna win this game.
Nah, I need TVD against North Carolina State 2 years ago. We need that. His confidence that game hasn't been matched since. We need that TVD.
Bombs away.
Yeah, we need that TVD to go in there and just take it by force. You know what I'm saying? Don't even care what they're giving you. We're going to beat y'all regardless. coaches have to coach better. Players have to do their job. Fans got to show up because, you know, the players want y'all to show up, you know, stuff like that. It just has to be an overall collective, you know, just collective team effort, you know. So, I like I say, I think we are just equally as good as Clemson and probably better. But, you know, we have to show it. You know, it has to go on. It has to be shown on the field. Can't have these brain farts on the field where you just missing certain assignments, stuff like that. Can't turn over the ball. Coaches can't get no crazy penalty because you're trying to call a timeout or, you know, clock management. You got to just be good. You know, I kept telling everybody this season's going to be crazy because guess what? That clock ain't stopping when you get a first down. You know what I'm saying? You losing some plays, and then some coaches still haven't figured it out. You know, now we have a coach who just has to figure it out still. So we'll see how it goes, man.
Yeah, I say let's create some turnovers. Their offensive line isn't very good. You know, they'll do the job, but I think our defensive line has the advantage there. Let's see some different pressure blitz. Bring the quarterback to the ground. Let's get the football out of his hands. Let's get a strip. A strip sack fumble, you know, and recover it. I'm going to go back to my guy I like to pick on a lot. I need a James Williams interception, man. I need a big play from James. You know, I pick on him just because I see the potential, but I don't see the big plays there. He's not playing bad. Not criticizing him, saying he's playing bad football, but I want to see great football. So that to me is the keys. We'll have some opportunities. I definitely, you know, their offense is the Achilles heel of this team this year. So we're going to have opportunities to get a good quarterback to the ground because the O-line isn't very good. Force him into some throws he may not want to make, and then take advantage of those and try to pick those off and then turn those turnovers into points. And I think we got a really good chance at taking this game at home and beating, again, a good Clemson team. This team is not bad. They just aren't up to the Clemson standard of the last, you know, decade. And don't expect that to last too long either. They'll retool and they'll fix a lot of things.
They recruit good still. They still recruit good. I guess once Dabble will figure out, let him get a couple portal guys, then he could join the rest of college football. man, you know, off the Clemson, man, we got a big time recruit. October, what was it,
6th? I think it was October right after 6th. The Georgia Tech game. Yeah,
got a big time recruit October 6th. One of the top receivers in the nation, Knight Carr. He actually decommitted from Georgia, and then committed to University of Miami. Man, he's explosive. He's fast. He's what I'm hoping. I'm not gonna say Kane Sanders, but he's what I'm hoping. We thought Jeff Thomas could be at University of Maine.
Jeff Thomas could have been a lot, man.
that's who I'm. Cause look, when he catches the ball, he goes from 0 to 100 instantly. I haven't seen too many players do that. Like, I've seen Jeff Thomas do it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm seeing him, Knight Carr, do it also, and I'm like, if he can be what we wanted Jeff Thomas to be at Miami, then we're gonna be in a good shape with the added receivers that we got coming in. So.
Yeah, man, Jeff had something with him, man. Yeah, Knight Carr, I did get a chance to look at a little bit of his film. I agree with X. His explosion is pretty unique. As to a good class of wide receivers that we got right now, you know, with JoJo. With Chance, you know, you're looking at a great wide receiving core coming in. So great addition there, a flip from Georgia, like X said. To continue to, you know, add on to this class, I think we continue to get some flips, possibly down the road.
Hearing the biggest targets, Ellis Robinson, he will be in town on Saturday. That's something major right there. You know, we go do our thing, and it's like it's possible that flip can happen.
Yeah, we need it. We need it. We got a tool. Even though the room's not bad, it's good for the optics. And we do. You always got to continue to stack. You know, everybody know that. Got to continue to stack talent.
Well, and the room is good, but I think we need that one outside corner who could say, okay, I got this. Whoever.
Right.
I got the outside. You know what I'm saying? I got our best receiver with the outside guys. So we don't have that just yet. You know, Damari Brown, he can be that, but he has to get on the field to do it. But I know Ellis Pitt. I've seen Ellis Roberts for 2 years. He's that. You know what I'm saying? He is that.
Yeah. And then we did take an L on the trail. Aiden Breland, he decided to stay out west and go to Oregon. Shout out to those guys over there, the job they done over there. Mario started it, number one, as he's the first one to offer him at Oregon. So I think he had a lot of comfortability with the campus and the surrounding area. Decided to stay out west. I do think they did a great job, fought to the very end. And again, they not going to quit. Mario will be calling him, you know, the day before signing day morning, making sure he knows what he's doing. So we'll see how that continues to go. Lost there, though, big body kid, five-star defensive tackle. You know, we didn't hit on a lot of those. So what you got there, Ma?
I just want to give a quick shout-out to Oregon, who had all the coaching error jokes after Georgia Tech when they coach should have punted the ball, and he didn't. And it was funny, all that coming full circle.
They had a bunch of coaching blunders in that game. You should have kicked the field goal before halftime. It's a bunch of stuff going on. So, yeah, they made jokes on us, and it's like, oh, yeah, not so funny, huh?
Well, come back fast now. Life comes at you fast. You'd be surprised sometimes, brother. I done seen it happen before.
Yeah. Kelp. Saturday we got another big time commit that's coming off the board, LJ McCray. I haven't gotten word where he's going just yet. I reached out and no information yet. I'll probably get something by later today or tomorrow. I mean, I guess if you listen to a certain fan base, they thinking that he's going that way. I give my own information, you know what I'm saying? So if I say something, then that's how I go off of. But we'll see how it goes. He commits on Saturday. Then you have another receiver, another top receiver, Ryan Wingo. He commits on the 25th. I guess I don't know. I think Oregon beat us twice actually on the trail. We really got the number one JUCO corner. I'm not gonna say they beat us that much, but because I think we kind of just stopped, you know, we kind of just laid off, you know, but they still beat us.
Yeah, we'll take that. We'll take that L. Yeah, what it is. What kind of name? Layla or whatever.
Some crazy name. I just stopped trying to pronounce it.
Yeah, especially if they ain't playing with us, right?
Yeah,
don't matter no more. Yeah, we end up getting this homeboy. We had it was 1 and 2. We got 2. Yeah. They got 1. So
we got the Kirk. I mean, Demetrius Frank. He's here. So, right. You know, we after the number one JUCO offensive tackle. We after the number one JUCO defensive tackle. We after both of those guys. I see Miami is starting to try to tap back into that JUCO channel. And that's a good channel to tap into because they got some player game ready players in that channel.
Yeah, I mean that's what we got Kobe Young from. So
definitely. We'll see how it goes, man. But you know, big week, big Saturday, man. Got Clemson, both teams 4-2. It's now or never for both teams. You know, as far as where do you want your season to go. You know, this is a big game. Nevertheless, both teams are 4-2. Neither one is ranked. It's still a big game. Most of the nation is going to be watching. As that usually, they could say they don't watch Miami all they want, but they watch. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, they definitely hate watches more than anybody else I know. I don't hate watch as much as they do. I watch Florida State because when I get the opportunity, just because I know we got to play them every year. So I like to know who I'm going up against. If Florida on TV, if I catch it, yeah, I guess. And I don't, you know, usually I find something better to do with my life than hate.
But I ain't got the energy to watch games anymore, neither. Like, we lost, but y'all lost. That got stale for me. Like, that's not.
Yeah, like, who cares? I'm really focused on me.
I just love football. I don't care about no. I mean, I don't even watch the Gators, but I just watch football. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah, right.
The game's on. If it's on. Last night, FIU was playing Sam Houston. I watched the whole entire game. Even while I was doing the space, I'm doing the space, and I'm still watching the game. I'm like, come on.
Absolutely.
I like sports. You know what I'm saying? So.
Oh, me too, but I'm not watching Florida play Sanford when A&M playing Alabama, like, just to hate. Yeah. Like, I'm like, exactly. Nah, I'm cool, bro. I'm not watching that shit. I don't care what, like, just to be mad. Like, nah. Well, people will do that. People do that in Miami, bro. I'd be like, man, you need to find something to do, man. Find love, man. Find love, brother.
Get a puppy.
Something, please. Get a puppy. I always say that, too. Anyways, we back, man. Like I said, look for a consistent schedule. Me and X got just one little wrinkle to iron out as far as just nailing down the time. But we will be back for sure next week. May get an instant reaction. That's kind of up in the air. Depends. I'm not sure if I'm going to the game. I do have my ticket. Trying to save some bread, though. Got a big wedding coming up in a couple months down to St. Croix. So I need to save as much as possible. So
yeah, save up for St. Croix.
Yeah. I bought the ticket already, so we'll see. We'll see if it sells for the right number. I'm gonna go ahead and let it go. I'm not trying to take no big.
But I'm gonna keep it a buck. I just looked at some tickets like 15 minutes ago, and a lot of the tickets Monday, the price went down. I seen the ticket that was like $90, and that thing went down to $40. I was like, oh,
yeah, that's what happened to me before. Yeah, I think that's. That's my thing. If I sell it, I'm probably just going to take an L, like, damn, bro, because, like, yeah, because we not 5-1, that value went down on that ticket, so we'll see.
Yeah, but anyway. I think we're doing all in all, I think people are going to show up. They just was like, you know, people who have them tickets, like, yeah, let me see if I could just sell it. And then, like, it happened, because even, like, last home game, everybody was like, man, I got to get a ticket. I'm like, well, look, Ticketmaster, the tickets right here, they are cheaper than what somebody is probably selling to you, you know, straight up. It is what it is, you know. So, I definitely be tailgating out there, man. I'm having some fun, and try to not have too much fun because I do got to go inside and work.
Strippers. Anyways, man. 20 degrees. It's your guys, man. Larry X and the homie Maul. It's B Clemson. We'll holler back at y'all ASAP.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.